And maybe it will go through your head all week, you know, I will call upon the Lord. All right, just, you know. And God doesn't care if you sing off key just like Diana or on key like Bob. You know, you just, I will call upon the Lord. That's what we need to do often and often. You know, if God had a secretary that asked that familiar question, who's calling? Would your name be on the list a lot? I hope so, because we need to call upon the Lord over and over and over again. And here we sit in the midst of our worship setting today. Do you like this worship setting? Is this cool or what? Hopefully, with all these hands that are surrounding us, we thank Don for taking the pictures. And then there was Lauren, Melvin, and Jeannie, and Sandy, and Bernie Osawalo, who helped put them all together. But the idea with all these prayer hands, if you can find yours there someplace, the idea is that we are just surrounded by prayer. This church is surrounded. They're up on the balcony. They're in the windowsills and around, as well as up in front. We are surrounded by prayer. Prayer and prayer and more prayer. Because that's what we need to do. To pray for one another, to pray for this church, to pray for our world. We call upon the Lord over and over and over again. And because when God's people pray, as the sign says, amazing things happen when God's people pray. Now, this Lent, we are using the video study by Jim Cimbala, who is the pastor of the Brooklyn Tabernacle Church, and he has a video study about what happens when God's people pray. When he was assigned there to the Brooklyn Tabernacle Church, it was in a really bad area of the city, and there were only about 8 or 10 people who were meeting there. And he said it was so depressing. Even he didn't want to go to church on Sunday. And, you know, if the pastor doesn't want to go to church on Sunday, it's pretty bad, isn't it? And one Sunday he was there, and he was preaching to that handful of people, and he could just see that. I mean, he was depressed, the people were depressed, the neighborhood was depressed, and it seemed like there was this darkness that was just covering them, and it was like trying to suck them into a black hole of depression. And so, as in the middle of his sermon, he was preaching away and realizing he was getting nowhere fast. So he just stopped and he said, you know, something is wrong here. We have to pray. And so they just stopped and they prayed, and they became a church of prayer. And they prayed and they prayed and they prayed, and marvelous things happened. In the video, he shows you what they did. They moved from this old building to, they bought another old building. It was an old theater, a big fancy theater that had been built in 1917 or something, and had gone into bad disrepair. And in the video, you will see some of the construction and what happened, but they renovated it into a really beautiful place there. And now, I don't know if any of you have ever been to the Brooklyn Tabernacle. I haven't. That's a good place to go, I think, to see what it's like. But it now has become, he said, they've renovated it, but now it's a place where lives are being renovated, and basically through prayer. And so in this study, he talks about prayer and how important prayer is. And he makes some statements that you may or may not agree with, but it's always good to start some discussion. One of the things that he says is that prayer is instinctive. He thinks that prayer is just instinctive with people, that we automatically, there's something natural within us that wants to go to God in prayer, especially if there are difficulties. And he cites scripture way back in the beginning of Genesis, and it's after Adam and Eve have sinned and been put out of the garden, and after Cain and Abel get into the first sibling rivalry, and Cain kills Abel, then Adam and Eve have another child, Seth, and then Seth has a child, and then it says these words. It says, at that time, people began to call upon the Lord. And he said that was the beginning of religion, when people began to call upon the Lord. And he goes ahead and he says, well, that there's just something in our nature that makes us want to turn to God. Well, as I was thinking about that all week, and I thought, well, do you think it is instinctive that we turn to God in prayer? And in some ways, I thought, I don't think people just naturally do that anymore. People don't. It's like we think we can solve everything ourselves, and we try to solve it, and then when nothing else works, it's like, well, maybe then I'll pray. But as I was thinking about that, I also thought about what are some words that just come from many, 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 many people's mouths when things don't quite go right. What is the first thing that people say? They say, oh my God. Except it doesn't seem much like a prayer most of the time, does it? I mean, most of the time it's more like swearing than praying. But what are they doing? They're calling on the name of the Lord. Now, we may distort it so that it becomes swearing, even when we do good things, and we say, oh my God, it's so good, you know, and all that, and we don't think of it as praying to God, but maybe it is our first instinct to call upon the Lord, and it's prayer, but we have distorted it to be swearing. So, well, I don't know whether that is our first instinct to call upon the Lord or not, because we say that so often, but I want you, the next time you are tempted to say those words or you hear those words, when you hear, oh my God, let it be a reminder to you to really call upon the Lord. Oh my God, I need you. Oh my God, help me to know what to do in this situation. Oh my God, work in and through me. Make it a prayer, not a swear word. Let's not take the Lord's name in vain, but let's remember to call upon the Lord. Make it a part of our instinct. Oh, oh my God, this is so wonderful. Thank you, God, for how wonderful this is. Oh my God, this is so terrible. Help me to know how you're working. Well, be that it may, whether it is our instinct or not, we need to call upon the Lord in all that we do. And we've been, people have been calling upon the Lord since the beginning of time, back in the beginning of Genesis. So there's also a neat verse in Jeremiah. The prophet Jeremiah was always getting in trouble. And in the 33rd chapter, it says, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a second time. So it had come before and had gotten him into trouble. And it said, while he was still confined in the court of the guard. So here he is. He's in a hard place. They always were putting him someplace, in jail or doing something, because he was always getting into trouble. But he says these words. Thus comes the word of the Lord came to him, saying, thus says the Lord, who formed it, who made the earth, the Lord who formed it to establish it. The Lord is his name. Call to me and I will answer you and will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. When you think about that, call upon the Lord. Call to me, says God, and I will answer you. Call and I will answer. So when we call upon the name of the Lord, we know that God will answer. Sometimes it takes a little while, and sometimes it's sudden. But when we call upon the Lord, God will answer. In the video, which you will see if you stay for the small groups, he not only does Jim Cimbala share his thing, his story and his thoughts about prayer, but he has each week a story of someone else telling their story about how prayer was important in their life. And today the story is about a guy named Danny, who was a very famous hairstylist and makeup artist, and he worked on important people when he went to Paris and got the cover of Vogue. And so then he had all kinds of money, plenty of money, but he also became a drug addict. And there was one person when he was on a photo shoot, her name was Wanda, beautiful model, who happened to be a member of Jim Cimbala's church. And she somehow knew that he was in trouble. And so she began to talk to him about Jesus and began to pray for him. And here's just part of his story.
God loves you, and this, and I was like, you know, whatever. She was a religious fanatic, and I really didn't have very much to say to her. I just let her talk. Before she left, she said, hey, Danny, do you mind if I pray for you? Right in the studio, she just took my hands, and she began to pray out loud, and I had never been around anybody praying out loud, you know. And I began looking around at people going like, you know, I just thought this girl's nuts. Before she walked out, she said, look, you know, you're in trouble. She goes, I know who you are. I've seen your work in magazines for years. And I know you work with all these famous celebrities, but you're in big trouble. And she said, so I just want to let you know that the day you call on the name of the Lord, he's going to set you free. And I said, oh, really? You know, like that. And I went, like, you don't understand. I've gone way too far. You know. And so she said, oh, no, no, there's no hopeless cases with Jesus. And I was like, okay, whatever. You know. But listen, I will never call on the name of the Lord. That won't happen.
Well, you have to see the rest of the video. He tells you the story. It's really very, very moving story about what happened to him. And obviously he did end up calling on the name of the Lord, or he wouldn't be on the video. So you know that it does have a happy ending. But when you think, it was like, I've never had anybody just kind of pray for you in public. I mean, that would kind of freak me out too if somebody just came up and said, you know, you've got problems and let me pray for you in public. But she planted a seed and she began praying for him and got some other people to pray for him. And the power of prayer did amazing things in his life. I hope you will stay for the small group and see the rest of his story. We know that this guy, he was hooked on heroin and cocaine, and I suspect, I am hopeful that there isn't anybody in this room that is hooked on heroin or cocaine. I guess I can't be absolutely sure of that, but I hope that is true. But there are many other things that can imprison us, and things like anger or hostility or pride or resentment, all those things can hold us prisoner and keep us from being the person that we could be. For Danny, it was heroin and cocaine, but for many of us, it's something else that keeps us from being that kind of person. But the same thing is true for us as was true for Danny. If we call upon the name of the Lord, if we call upon the Lord, God will answer, and we will be amazed at what happened. I know that some of you have heard the story that I am going to tell you before, because I have used it in the sermon before, but somehow it felt heavy on my heart this week that I perhaps needed to tell you this story again, that maybe there's somebody, either somebody new or somebody that needs to hear this story again. And it really goes into a time when I was imprisoned by anger and hostility and resentment, and it was a very powerful moment of prayer in my life that really changed my life. It happened many years ago. Now, it was actually, I wasn't a pastor at that time. Bob was, but I was struggling with a call to be in ministry, and had actually started going back to school in order to be a pastor again. But we had at that time a very rebellious teenage daughter, our daughter Susan. If you name it, she did it as a teenager. And there was, but I had taken all these psychology classes, and I had done everything the way that you were supposed to. You know, when she did something wrong, I'd say, you know, I love you, but I hate the action. You know, that kind of thing. We can't do that. I kept cool. We'd gone to psychologists. We'd been to counselors. We'd read all the self-help books. I'd done it all. Well, one day she got kicked out of school again, really for what? It doesn't matter. It's what was happening within me. And we had been trying to discuss this around the kitchen table, and finally, I just lost it. I had had it. I had had enough embarrassment. I couldn't take it anymore. I hated this child, and I just let it all spew out. And then I went down to the basement because I didn't really want the other two littler kids to hear all this. And so in the basement, we had a punching bag that was really for Susan to get out her anger. So I started punching that punching bag and I was just saying, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you. I was punching that punching bag, and then when my fist started hurting, it gets you after a while. We also had a jumping bed down there, a spring and a mattress, and for the kids to jump on and take out their energy. And so there was a tennis racket there. So then I started hitting the bed with a tennis racket. I hate you. I hate you. I hate you. I was just like, I lost it. I went crazy. I was just, I really wanted to hit Susan, but I knew Bob wouldn't let me do that. But, you know, so I was hitting everything I could. And then, Bob made Susan come down to the basement. I think it was after a while. I think he was convinced I probably was too tired to hit her too hard, I guess. And then I realized she was down there, and I realized here I was saying I hated her, and she was right there. And so I said, Susan, it must really be terrible to hear your parent say that they hate you. I never thought I'd say that. And I don't know what the future holds, because I don't know if I can be a pastor. Pastors don't hate their children. I don't even know if I can stay married to your father, because he doesn't hate you. I don't know what will happen in the future. All I know is that I can't take it anymore, and I hate you. She didn't say anything. She just got up and walked to the end of the basement. It was a ranch house, so the basement was very long. And I watched her go to the stairs at the far end of the basement. And when she got to the steps, I prayed and I said, God, I hate her, but I don't want to hate her. Please take this hate from me. And at that moment, I felt a weight lifted literally from my shoulders. I had not realized I was going around with a weight on my shoulders until it was lifted. And I literally felt that weight lifted. And the hate was gone. Well, I was in the basement at that point. She'd gone upstairs, and actually Bob and the other kids, we were supposed to be going out to somebody else's house that night for supper. And Bob was up there thinking, what am I going to do? I can't leave them home together alone, and I can't take them. And, you know, so I came up, I went back into the bedroom, and I said to Susan, I said, I prayed, and God took away the hate. And we cried a little bit, and we washed our face, and we came out, and we said, well, we're ready to go now. And Bob was like, but anyway, it was a moment. It was a moment where I was freed from hostility and hatred, which was binding and keeping me from being the person that I know God wanted me to be. Now, I can't say I've never been angry with her again. Of course, I have, but I have never hated her since then. And a happy thing is that she's now back in school, and she asked me to help her with her math. She's coming tonight to let me. Oh, it's so good. I never thought she would ever ask me to help her with her math. But anyway, these things come around. But I just tell you that to say, you know, there is power in prayer, and it can free you. When you call upon the name of the Lord, you can be freed from whatever is holding you. I don't know what might be holding any of you today. These are rough times. This is hard times. Maybe there's fear that you need to be released from. There are times amazing things happen when God's people pray. Amazing things happen. On the bulletin board by the elevator, I mentioned some things that have happened within this church when we prayed, when things were tough and we didn't know if we had enough money to do that entryway, or when we didn't know how to go to two services from three. We prayed together and amazing things happen. So that's what I hope will happen as we pray together, that you will open yourself to the power of God's presence, who will help you as we pray together. And in the video, Jim Sambala says, God uses difficult times to draw us closer. I know that's been true in my life, with not only just a teenage daughter with her rebellion, but when there was time of illness, or when there was time of trouble in the church, or time of conflict. God uses those times to draw us closer. Sometimes we think, well, you know, why do bad things happen to good people? I mean, shouldn't our lives be much easier if we love God? But the truth is, I don't think if we didn't have some bad things to overcome, we might not be as good as we could be. Because overcoming difficulty makes us stronger. It makes us better people. I don't believe God causes difficulty in our lives just so that God can help us be stronger. But God uses those difficult times that come to us to make us stronger, to draw us closer. That's what happens. So when we ask the question, who's calling? That imaginary secretary of God's who said, who's calling now? Who is it that's calling upon the name of the Lord? I hope it's you. I know it's me, and that we're all in this together, calling upon the name of the Lord.